Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, hello, I'm Chris Stainis, and this is the Voices of Women radio show on Transformation Talk Radio. And today, I'm excited because my guest today has written a book that is to assist people in the process of helping their loved ones through the difficult transition of dying. Her book is No One Has to Die Alone. Now, this is important work for many of us are dealing with this issue, or we will in the future, and we're not very comfortable with this topic. So I'm just really glad to have Dr. Lonnie Leary here today. She specializes in work with the chronically ill, dying, and bereaved clients. She has worked for the past 25 years as a psychotherapist in private practice, as a chaplain in the intensive care unit of a hospital, and as a counselor in six hospices across the country. And Dr. Leary gently guides caregivers, family, and friends through the difficult transitions of illness, death, and grief. Drawing from her experience sitting with over 500 people as they died and caring or for their own parents through terminal illness, Dr. Leary speaks from a place of wisdom and hope to offer practical, nurturing guidance on how to support our loved ones through illness and ourselves as we face this transition. She served as the director of mental health services at an AIDS clinic, as a professor of death studies at George Mason University, and as a researcher at the National Cancer Institute of NIH. She is the author of Healing Hands, an internationally best-selling audio tape about therapeutic touch and complementary approaches to pain management. Her website is drlonnieleary.com, and that's L-A-N-I-L-E-A-R-Y. So welcome, Lonnie, to Voices of Women.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, well, I was really pleased when I got this book from your publisher. We had a presenter at Women of Wisdom who did a workshop on this, and it was a very full workshop. And it was a very moving time to be sharing what with each other, what everybody was going through. So you mentioned in your book that you experienced bereavement as a teenager. So I'm curious, is that what drew you to this work? I'd love for you to share, you know, talk a little bit about that, and we can talk about experiences, you know, with and children and their grieving process.
Yes, Chris, it really is. It started my work when I was 13. My mother was ill, and in my family, we didn't talk about illness. We certainly didn't talk about the prospect of death. And as a 13-year-old, I didn't have any language. I didn't have any role models. I didn't know how to help. And so when my mother died suddenly and unexpectedly, my world stopped. And I really believed that I had not helped her. And so I was left with years and years of not just grief, but grief exacerbated by remorse and regret and such guilt that in my mind, she had died alone. And in my mind, a young 13-year-old's mind, I believed that her last impression of her only daughter was that I didn't love her enough or I didn't care enough to be with her and to help her. And so in order to cope, I vowed to make some meaning out of this tragedy. And I vowed that never again would I feel unprepared or unable to help another one, another loved one die. And so I had to make something good out of this. And so I did go to school and studied everything that I could about death and dying and grief. And I found every opportunity that I could through hospices to be with people who were dying, many, many different circumstances, many different needs, so that I just kind of gathered experiences and my own confidence, believing that someday my father would die, other family members would die, and I would be there. I would be able to do for them what I was not able to do for my mother. And I have to say that my grief with my when my father died was so, so different than the grief I felt with my mother because, 40 years later, when my father died, I was fully present and advocating for him, talking to him about everything, able to listen to the difficult feelings and needs. And it was just a very, very different experience. I was so grateful.
Well, yes, and I think when you're sharing your story of, you know, being 13, that is such a burden to hold on you. And no one talks about these things. And as a 13-year-old, you don't know where to go to either.
Oh, that's so true. No one helped me to figure out what I was feeling. No one helped me to put words to my feelings. And no one really explained what happened to her, when it happened. And in fact, it must have been 20 years later when I was speaking with my father and I said something about how my mother died. And I believed all those years that my mother had died alone in a hospital, all alone. And I said something to that effect to my father, and he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, well, I thought she died alone. No, he said, she was there. I was there with her. And that changed the whole picture. And I wish that someone had been clear with me about all, you know, the specifics, and so that I had a different picture of how she died. And that would have changed a lot of the meaning for me.
Well, I'm curious. I want to ask because he was with her, but you were 13. It's almost like the adults try to protect the children that they're not allowed to see this. And yet it would be so much easier for you probably to deal with it if it was really you were able to be present there.
Well, that's such an important lesson, yes. And that's what when I'm coaching families through things, I really urge parents to answer questions fully, to follow a child's lead. So often we hear, we don't talk about that. And so what happens is a child goes in with very, very limited information, perspective, and life experience. They so often go to the worst experience. But for a child, the worst way to create meaning, because children are so egocentric, is that they are the cause or they are the center of most activities. And so when I was 13 years old, because I didn't have any control, the way that we cope is to think that we are the center of control. And so it must have been my fault. It must have been because of something I did or said. And children respond that way. So more information rather than less is the kindest thing that we can do when we're helping children through any kind of loss or change. Very, very important.
Well, I was surprised in reading your book, and there's a statement how the U.S. Census Bureau gives this statistic that in the U.S., approximately 1 in 20 children will experience the loss of a parent before the age of 20.
Yes.
You know, that's a lot of children dealing with, and then you've got the also other things that are happening in our country with the violence in schools and, you know, kids bringing in guns and their peers being shot or killed, and you hear those, you know, how often that happens. I don't know the statistics of that, but that's hard for children. And I know now they set up, you know, bringing counselors to school and the grief counselors and, you know, to prepare them, to help them with their grief with that. And so, I'm also, go ahead.
Well, that's true that grief counselors coming into schools is a wonderful, very important, response. However, so often that grief response, the grief therapy does not go on long enough, because one of the myths in our culture is that we expect people to get over their grief much, much more quickly than in fact they do. Grief takes a long time to adjust to. Loss takes a long, long time to fit that into our life. And the other thing I wanted to say is that 1 in 5 children will lose a parent before they reach adulthood. But it's not, that's not just one loss. That's many, many losses within the death of a parent, because not only did I lose a mother, I lost a role model, I lost innocence, I lost my childhood, because I then took on the roles of many of the things that she had to do. I lost safety. I lost a sense of the feminine. There are many, it's very complex and layered. So we need to address not just the one loss, but really each one of those losses, what it means to the child, and what needs to, what do we need to put in place to meet those needs.
Yeah, that's huge. And, you know, is there other family members? Do they have aunts to fill, you know, come in and be that support? It's so important for young and likewise the boys, you know, not mm-hmm. just the girl, but all that. Okay. So we're listening to Lonnie Leary and Voices of Women. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk some more about this important topic.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and we're talking to Dr. Lonnie Leary, who's the author of No One Has to Die Alone, Preparing for a Meaningful Death. So, Lonnie, why is it so important to talk about end-of-life issues?
Well, it's important because, one, all of our loved ones are going to die, and we can make a difference in how they die. We may not be able to hold off death, but death is inevitable, and we can change how they experience their death and how we companion them to their transition. But it matters then to how we grieve, as I talked about with my mother. But do you know that 90% of our loved ones are going to die from an illness or an age-related circumstance? Only 10% of our loved ones will die suddenly and unexpectedly. And so that means that we have an opportunity with 90% of our loved ones to help them identify what is important to them so that we can help them carry it out and we can advocate for them. So that, you know, the idea is not that they die, but that they live right up to the last moment of their breath. And we can help facilitate that. We all have more choices and power than we're using. If we stay silent, if we don't talk about it, if you and I don't know what our loved one really wants, we're going to be second guessing.
Well, how can we make a difference? How do you start that conversation? It's a difficult conversation. I think that's part of the fear is we don't know how to talk about it.
It is. It is a difficult conversation. And one of the reasons that it's difficult is because we think that we assume how our loved one is going to translate that or interpret that. So oftentimes what I hear from people is, I can't ask my 90-year-old mother how she wants to die because she's going to think that I am looking forward or I'm planning for her to die. So one of the ways that I do that is that I bring up a conversation about myself. So I might say to my father before he died, Dad, I'm really thinking about, you know, how long I might want to stick around and when I stick around, how I want that to happen. And these are the plans that I've made for my life. These are the plans that I've made. Here's my living will. Here's my health care power of attorney. These are the wishes that, this is what's important to me. I hope you'll support me. And Dad, have you thought about that for yourself? Do you know what's important to you? Dad, if you could no longer speak for yourself, who would you want to talk for you? And he might say, in this case, well, Lonnie, I want you to be my voice. Well, Dad, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what it is you'd want me to say. Can we go over some of those things? Because I really want to be there for you. I don't want to guess for you. Would you do this as a gift to me so that I can feel really confident that I'm seeing your wishes through? So that's a little bit of how I have that conversation. The other thing that I do when I'm coaching families is after I've had that conversation with the primary person, I'll ask them, I'll tell them how really important it is that everybody's on the same page. And would it be possible for us to have a family meeting so that maybe he's got three children, so that everyone is hearing the same language, the same decisions, your same timetable, so that none of us is arguing. We're all right there behind you, Dad, supporting your wishes. We don't have any questions. So that we get to focus on you instead of our differences of opinion. Does that language help?
Well, yes. I just think, but you may have family members who don't get along or disagree, and so it is, that just bringing it maybe perhaps if they can talk. I mean, you might have some situations where they aren't able to express that.
That's true. But the idea is, you know, the primary goal is what would Dad want? What would our loved one want? And it keeps going back to that. This isn't about us. This is about him.
All right. Yes. Well, yeah, and it's allowing them to, well, I, you know, I heard the term, you know, to die with dignity, to to make that choice.
And each one of us has to define what that means. What is what dignity means to one person is very, very different than what dignity means to another person. And it was interesting to me always that when I was teaching death education, I would ask the graduate students, okay, define your perfect death. And there was people were always surprised with each other's definition of a perfect death, because one person wanted to die in a car accident because it'd be quick, it'd be immediate, and it would just be immediate. Somebody else thought that was horrible. They wanted to die in their sleep. Somebody else wanted to have cancer and have 3 months to say goodbye to everybody. Everyone has different needs, different values, different priorities, but we need to hear what they are so that we can honor them.
Yes, and we avoid this topic so much. Why do you think, does it seem like more in our culture that we have this avoidance about death? Because, you know, yes. So much focus on youth, and you, I'm kind of vaguely aware of it. It seems like in other cultures, other, you know, European cultures, that it's different.
It is different. It's different in our culture, and it's also different in this era because, you know, 100 years ago, if a loved one died, the family would build a coffin. The family would care for the body and dress the body. The family would be the processional to burial. The family was much, much more involved. We used to lay our loved one out in the parlor. And we used to wear black armbands so that the whole community knew that we were in mourning and they would know how to respond to us. We don't do that anymore.
It's so distant.
You know, we delegate it. It's very distant. Most of us have never been to a funeral home, certainly have not been to a crematorium. We let others take care of the details at the death of our loved one. And so we do not have the exposure. And because we don't have the exposure, we don't have the comfort with it. Other cultures are different. Other cultures have way more language for death and grief itself, so that there are nuances to what they're experiencing. But yeah, I think in our day and age, and also in this culture, we so revere youth. Aging, illness is dirty. It's a handicap. You know, there's nothing honorable about it. We don't want to touch old bodies. We don't want to get near illness. All of that contributes to this death denying culture that we live in. It's not helpful.
No, and actually now there's sort of a reversal happening. There is a new culture coming back of people aren't aware that they can, that it's not illegal to bury your somebody, yourself. And you can make your own coffin, and you can do, or even not put a body in a coffin. There's, I don't know the particulars on this, but we're in this mindset, like it all has to be done by a funeral home, and it has to be done, you know, they got to be either cremated or you're buried in a graveyard, and all these things that, and the reality is we don't. And so there's actually a whole new wave of people doing death in a different way.
Yeah.
Taking care of the bodies and a real honoring of, which is a real honoring of that person. And, I had someone on my show recently, and we had a workshop at Women of Wisdom, and we were talking about that. And it's important to educate ourselves, because I think we don't know. And that's that fear.
And it makes the end of life like a birth. And as we have midwives, you know, in a birthing process, we can all serve as midwives through a death and all the way through a death, you know, into the memorial service and all of that. Yeah, we can participate. But you can imagine how denying death makes a person who is ill feel handicapped, dirty, unimportant. No one wants to touch them. Therefore, I don't want to burden anyone, and I'm not going to ask for help. So the dying are alone at the end of the end of life. And that's what I want to emphasize so much through my book, is that no one has to die alone. And the more we know and the more experience that we have, when we change our attitudes and learn new skills and gain knowledge, we do approach the dying, and it is an opportunity. It's a sacred opportunity. It's all. It's such a gift. I've learned so much. I've been given so much more from these people that I've sat with than I've ever been able to give to them.
Yeah, it is an amazing experience. I sat with my sister my mom passed away, and yet in the moment we were with her, and we'd been with her two nights, and the second night we actually. It was odd because we fell asleep, and that's when she actually did pass over. But I had gone.
Chris, I hear that so often.
Yeah, but I sat with her just before that. I sat with her, mm-hmm. and I told her, it's okay to go now.
Mm-hmm. You gave her permission.
And then she did. So, but, you know, and the touch, like, we're afraid of that touch. And I think some of it, you know, all you have to do is hold a hand. We're not, you know, what's nothing wrong with holding. In fact, they're beautiful to look at the hands that have, it's just like older faces, the wisdom in those wrinkles, you know, the same in the hands of just holding a hand is maybe all that's needed. Well, we're talking with Dr. Lonnie Leary, and we're going to take a short break right now, and we'll come back and talk some more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Do you want a love life that's full of happiness, partnership, and fun?
A relationship that works for you instead of you having to work so hard on it?
We all want our love lives to be happy. But how exactly do you do that?
To find out, tune in each Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Noah and Christine Show, keeping the happy and happily ever after.
We promise you a humorous and honest show for both men and women, featuring the simple, practical, and yes, fun tools that any couple can use to keep the love and happiness growing and flowing.
We'll see you on the show.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of God, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Dr. Lonnie Leary. And Lonnie, can you give us your contact information, website, and how people can purchase your book?
Sure, that'd be great. My book just came out on April 10th, and it's in all major bookstores and on Amazon.com. It's No One Has to Die Alone, and people can find me on my website at drlonnieleary.com. That's L-A-N-I-L-E-A-R-Y. I also write a column for called Healing Tears, which is a bereavement column for LifeNet Oregon Procurement Agency on the East Coast. But you can find that on the net, too.
Great. Yeah, I recommend people getting this book. And it's a good book. And I would love, part of the book you talk about near-death experiences, and you had a near-death experience, and I'd love for you to share that and how that shaped your understanding of death.
It really did shape my understanding of death and informed my work with the dying. I was 28 years old, and I had a 2-year-old baby, very happy as a mother and a wife, and I had a standard dental procedure, but was given nitrous oxide laughing gas, and my body went into anaphylactic shock. It was just an allergic reaction. I don't think it was anybody's fault. And so one minute I was in the dentist chair, and all was well. And the next minute that I knew, I was up in the right-hand corner of the office. My consciousness was looking down at my body. And as I looked at my body, I really felt as though I had a fondness for it, but it wasn't me, almost as though I had worn out these clothes and I should take them to a thrift shop. But there was no anxiety, no fear, no worry, except that I was trying to take care of the dentist, and I was trying to communicate with him that everything was okay, not to worry. But, of course, he didn't respond. He didn't hear. And I don't know. There was no sense of time, so I can't tell you how long I was in the corner of the ceiling. But the next thing I knew, I was entering a tunnel, a beautiful, beautiful tunnel, and my mother was right at the entrance to the tunnel. And I had not seen her for 15 years since she died. And it was like she was there to embrace me. Her arms were open. She was whole and healed and beautiful and vibrant. And she did not die that way. And I went to her, and the thing that is still so surprising to me is that if you had asked me before this experience, well, if you saw your mother, what would you say? I would tell you that it would have taken years and years and years to catch up with all of the things, the details of my life that I wanted to share with her. But that's the ego that's responding to that question. And in fact, when my soul encountered my mother again, what happened still surprises me, and that is that I didn't have to tell her the details of my life. All I communicated telepathically, I thought and she received, was I love you, because when she died, I did not tell her that. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. And I said, I miss you. And she said, I know. And the way that she telepathically communicated that to me was almost like arms going around me. And with that, I knew that she had always been with me, and she always would be with me. And she knew all the details of my life. And so to my great surprise, I could and did let go of her. I left because I was drawn into this tunnel that looked like mother of pearl. It was so beautiful. And I heard this music, and I was moving through this tunnel to the light. The light was a speck way, way off. And then as I got closer, it got bigger and bigger. And soon I was in front of the light. And then the light moved around me almost. And then I was in the light. And it was, there are no words for that experience. No words for how deeply I knew that I was loved and forgiven for anything I ever thought I needed to be forgiven for. And I really knew that I was home and didn't want to go any other place. I that was it. Such incredible love. Bliss doesn't even come close to it. I've never been loved like that. And accepted. And I knew that the light and I were one. I knew that the light and I were made of the same substance. I knew that there were many ways to this. It was almost like I was downloaded with some wisdom. It's very difficult to put into words. But the bottom line is I wanted to stay there. And then this light communicated to me, you must go back. And I yelled back, no. And the light said again, you have work to do. You must go back. And I still yelled no. And then I felt myself being pulled back through this tunnel. And the next thing I knew, I was in the dentist chair. And the dentist thought that he had resuscitated me, and it didn't matter what, you know, it didn't matter who got the credit. But I did not talk about that experience. When I came home from the dentist, my husband knew that something had happened to me. He could tell something had happened. But I never talked to anyone about that experience for a good 5 years, because as a mother, it wasn't that I was ashamed, but as a mother, I didn't believe that anyone would understand that I could love my child and not want to come back. I was not saying no to my child. I wasn't saying no to my marriage. I was saying yes to this love. So when I came back, there was a sense of now what, and really a comparison of how dense this world is and how difficult and how much love there that isn't shared here as compared to the sense of connection and love that I had experienced in the presence of the light. So my kind of inner dialogue was, well, this better be good. You know, I better really have something back here that's important to do, and boy, you better show me. And it was a couple of months afterward that I was reading a newspaper article, turned the page, and there was an article about hospice. And I'd never done any work in hospice before, but the word yes came right off the page. And I knew instantly that this was the work that I was to do. And I am able to do this. It is my life's work. It is my passion, because I can lean into the dying experience in a way I think others are afraid to, because I know that there's nothing to be afraid of. Here's what that near-death experience taught me that I think I translate into my work. The moment of death is not painful. Whatever my body was doing in that dentist chair, and I mean maybe twitching or looking like it was gasping or something, I was not experiencing that discomfort or pain. And I think that's very, very important for families to know, that what they are witnessing or watching at the very end of life is not the same internal experience of their loved one. And so perhaps we can give up that, if that last image of our loved one is painful, give that up. That's not what they're experiencing. So I know that death is not painful. I know that death is not the end. My consciousness continued. I was even more of myself. I also know that death is not the end of a relationship. My mother was having a relationship with me, even in her death. And I know that I will see my loved ones again. I also know that death is a healing. My mother was very broken when she died. And when we were reunited, I saw her whole and vibrant and beautiful. So those are some of the things that I know that I take into my work. And even working, I worked in a pediatric hospice in Norfolk, Virginia. And boy, you know, most people don't understand how I could do that, because children aren't supposed to die, right? That's very abnormal. It's not the normal course of life events. But again, I was with children who... Children don't fear death. That's not innate. Children are taught to fear death. And to have someone with them who's not afraid and doesn't transfer that is, I think, very soothing for the whole family. So I know that these children who die are going to be okay. I know where they're going to be, and I know that they can continue to be in contact with their family members, but mostly I know they're going to be okay. So all of that...
And that's, Yeah, that's such an important message for the family, and it's hard for them to be in that state of mind. So it's what you are doing, and that hospice worker is being that advocate and being that calm presence for the family.
Yeah.
And
because there isn't anything to be afraid of. Yeah. Death is a transition. Let's make it the most gentle and authentic transition that it can be. Yeah.
That's so important. I mean, you know, you think about it, it's two, you know, like you said, it is like a birth.
It is.
I know some people think, well, that's all there is. It's just you're dead, there's nothing. But
not what I experienced, yeah.
Yeah, and we hear
millions of others have experienced. I mean, there are millions and millions all over the world. This is a cross-cultural event. Experience. And the same reports come from people in Australia and Germany. We all have very similar accounts of what happened.
Yes. Yeah, I've read those. And also sometimes we get it in dreams. It reminds me of dreams I've had. I have that of my dog, seeing my dog on the other side of a fence and being alive and happy. And, you know, it's reassuring for our pets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is Christina. Well,
you're talking about an after-death communication in dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're going to have to take a break right now. We can get back to that. So it's time for our commercial break. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Lonnie Leary when we come back.
Living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
What would it take for you to feel free and know that you have all the time you need to fulfill your destiny and live the life of your dreams? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in this state of being every single day? Learn how to develop this profound knowing and this skill by cultivating gratitude in your daily life. Each moment, you have a choice. Take the time now. In this present moment, to open yourself to more valuable time for you. Use our gratitude journal, graced with our bungee bookmark, infused with the essence of gratitude, and write down what you are grateful for. This daily practice will transform your life and shift your reality. Offer yourself this amazing gift of gratitude and transform your own life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Women of Wisdom.
Shine, sister, guide.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm talking with Dr. Lonnie Leary. And we were just talking about, having this dream about my dog. And Lonnie, you mentioned how that, you know, the after-death communication that, I imagine you have lots of stories about that.
Oh, I have great stories. I had great experiences. And like the near-death experience, there's more and more research and reports about after-death communication. So when I was at the National Institute of Health, I was working with children, long-term survivors of pediatric AIDS, children who had outlived the normal survival rate. And so I had a relationship with these children, and oftentimes at the end, let's say 6-year-old Sally would have died, and she used to play with Johnny, and I would be at the bed of Johnny. And Johnny would be looking up at the ceiling and saying, Sally and Timmy and, you know, other children, named other children that had died. And I would tell the nurse to go get the parents. And it wasn't too long afterwards that this child would die. That would be comforting for parents to know that the child did not die alone, that the child went to friends, and that the child could see where they were going without fear. So I decided to start I did some research, and I started asking parents, have you had any experience of your child since they've died? And those grieving parents would grab me and say, thank you so much for asking me about that. I want to talk about the experience so much, but no one will believe me. And so by opening up that conversation, the parents could talk about a dream, a very, very different, profound, almost a tangible dream in which the child came to them and communicated, or they saw their child, or they smelled their child's distinctive scent, or something happened. But always the message was, when I would ask, and what was communicated to you? What do you think that meant? Always, consistently, repeatedly, the message was the child coming back saying, I'm okay, I'll see you again. Well, we need to give voice and presence to those kinds of communications and experiences, because it helps those who are bereaved. It really matters. So I think the more we talk about those experiences, the more we validate them, and more people will talk about that, so that we just normalize the experience. But it happens much more routinely than people know, and it's very comforting.
Yes, it would be. Well, so we all know we're going to die. I know I'm going to die. How do we prepare? But how do you prepare for your own death?
Sometimes
in my mind, it's crazy what your mind thinks. And sometimes you already have planned your funeral when, some little thing happens and you go in this.
And that's a good mood. That's a good move. Let's hope that we live a good, long quality of life, but let's prepare that we don't. And so the first step is to really do some self-reflection and ask yourself what you do care about, what you do value, and put some of those thoughts down in writing. I would say that we need to write a will. We need to designate a health care power of attorney, that person who can speak for us when we can't. I've written my obituary. I've planned my memorial service. I'm not 60 yet. And I've done those things. And more importantly than that, I have spoken. I have communicated my wishes to my family. Again, all at the same table, so that everyone knows what I want. And if I am comatose, my two designated healthcare power of attorneys, I chose two because I didn't want just one person to feel responsible. My two healthcare power of attorneys know to give me 7 days to come back. And if I don't come back, then I'm fine. I've already made that decision. I'm going on. These are my decisions, and I'm not asking my loved ones to make decisions for me. I'm only asking that they respect my wishes and carry them out. And all of those things are written. I've made a decision about organ donation, and I've written that down, and I've filled out the necessary cards. I've designated the things that are important to me, maybe a special family piece of jewelry, and I've written out who I want that to go to. So all of those things are preparations for our death. And we can all do that. We can cope. We can have more power and choices.
And yet we tend to avoid that. So it's like, you know, it's almost like we're so busy living and but if there's an avoidance of doing that, to actually think about it, as if that might bring our death sooner.
Exactly. That's the myth. That's the myth. Yeah. That if I do it, I'm wishing for it. Well, I think it's a myth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just the greatest gift you can give your loved ones. Because there's so much that goes on at the time of death, and you know, I would much rather my loved ones have the space and the time to just attend to their own feelings and needs, rather than have to attend to the details of my funeral or writing up an obituary. That was one of the great experiences that I had with my father as he was dying. Is that I said to him, "Hey, Dad, let's go through scrapbooks. I'd like to know what you thought was most important in your life, and I'd like you to help me write your obituary." Now, if I had not asked him that, I would have written a very, very different obituary than he wrote about his own life. And it's his life. He knows best. Mm-hmm. But I would have pulled out different events. And so even up to the very last, you know, I was learning so much about him, and I was so grateful for that exchange. Those are things we can do.
Yeah, and especially children, we there's so many things we really don't know about our parents. Mm-hmm. And my father turned 100 last summer. I've talked about this, but I made a book from Apple has this iBook. You can get other books from other computer generated, and it's like a 90-page book. He was born in Norway, and but going through these pictures was it was a month process for me, and going through the pictures and then talking to him, getting clearer of what's this and who's this and mm-hmm. it was just a wonderful experience. And now this book, and so it sits in his room at he's in assisted living now, and it sits there. I brought it out because it had been in a box, and I brought it out last week, and he says, "Oh yeah, people keep picking," because the caregivers go in there and the nurses, and he says, "Oh yeah, people are picking it up," because it's fascinating to look at someone who has a 100-year history of what he's gone through. And it's such a gift, because there's just so much that we don't know. Mm-hmm. about our parents or our loved ones. Well, it was great to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And I wish you well on your book. I encourage everyone to get her book. Again, it's No One Has to Die Alone, Preparing for a Meaningful Death, Dr. Lonnie Leary. Again, our website is www.drlaniLeary.com. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today, to look around you and see who is grieving a loss of a loved one, and see how you can reach out to them in a compassionate, loving way. And if it's you that's in that state of mind and you're grieving, how can you ask for support? What do you need to help you over the loss of a loved one? Well, this is Chris Danis, and I'm glad to have shared this hour with you. I hope you have a great weekend. You can sign up for the monthly Women of Wisdom newsletters at www.womenofwisdom.org. Find out about our monthly events in Seattle. We're having our first for the year annual, our first one of our monthly dinners is coming up April 24th. That's in North Seattle. And I'm the founder of the Woman of Wisdom Conference and the organization, and the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And just as the conference changed women's lives, the book touches women's lives too. And it's all on the exploration of the divine feminine and hearing it from many different voices. So it's been an inspiring book for women and men. I hear reports from men that they like it too. You can purchase that at our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. And if you'd like to contact me, please use my email, wow@womenofwisdom.org. So this is Chris Danis. Glad to have shared that hour with you. I'll see you next week. I'll be talking to Mary Beth Mosier, who has a new compilation book, She Is Everywhere, and it's writings from 50 women on women's spirituality. So have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.